We're going to start today with the shifting ideas of morality in politics. The political morality that we're used to seems to be playing a different role this year than in the past.
America is great because America is good.
There's Hillary Clinton. She's been using that line a lot lately. Her contrast to an opponent she wants voters to see as mean or ruthless, selfish, boorish, definitely immoral. Democrats might not be used to hearing their candidate try to grab the moral high ground in this way. Of course, Donald Trump has his own morality pitch. Hillary Clinton is a liar. Hillary Clinton is a lawbreaker.
And believe me, she has tremendous hate in her heart.
In a few minutes, we're going to hear from an evangelical leader on how Donald Trump has many traits you might not expect your average evangelical to like, but is still maintaining the support of a lot of Christian conservatives. But first, a different look at the shifting role of morality in American politics. Have things really changed all that much? Jeet here actually doesn't think so. He's senior editor at The New Republic, and he says that the more closely you look at Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, the more you see that the politics of morality hasn't changed that much at all.
I think that political morality has to have an element of policy, or it's really about how we decide to live with each other. Any human community has to have rules, and we all have our own personal morality, but that's very different than political morality, which is the rules that we agree to live together. So I think that that's the simplest definition of morality, the rules that we come together so that we can exist as a community.
And so in that vein, Jeet, here, we seem maybe not for the first time, but certainly more loudly than in past elections, Democrats and Hillary Clinton in particular, using that very rhetoric of morality as the way we come together and live with each other, as a billboard at the top of the campaign. And we haven't really heard this so much from Democrats in the past.
I don't know if I'd agree with that. Like, I think especially Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton, I mean, whatever we want to say about their personal life, I think we're talking about political morality. They've always been moralist. I mean, it seems ironic to say so, but Bill Clinton signed the Abstinence Education Act. There's a strong element of sort of morality of drug testing in the welfare reform. And the whole idea of it takes a village is a very moralistic idea. I think that the Democrats have always been, at least for the last 50 years, sort of have had this communitarian sense of morality.
It takes a village. We support one another, things like that.
Yes. Yeah, so, I think those are all very moralistic statements.
So does it mean now that Democrats are filling a vacuum where there's communalistic, moralistic ideas have more volume because they think they're running against a candidate who is morally vacuous or mean or doesn't fit the moral profile of his own party and they just have an opportunity now?
Well, I would actually sort of step back and say, as perverse as this sounds, I think Donald Trump is a moralist. Because if we go say that morality is the rules that we live together, I actually think that he's articulating a very strong morality, which is sort of hyper-individualistic patriarchy.
So then we have to contrast that clearly right away with the type of morality and moralizing that we're used to in Republican politics, right? You're saying that Donald Trump is actually projecting a strong morality, but there's part of it that's in direct contrast with the moral politics of the right that we're used to. Donald Trump is new to being pro-life, of course. He's married three times. He's acknowledged lots of adultery and sexual behavior throughout his whole life in the media. So there's a contrasting morality there that he has to reconcile.
My take on Trump, which is a bit of a counterintuitive take, is that there's less new there than meets the eye. I mean, there are certain people, conservatives like Ross Douthat of the New York Times, who say, well, he's a sort of post-religious conservative. He's a playboy Republican. He's a hustler Republican. But I think that actually misses something very crucial, which is that there's a continuum in patriarchy. He is articulating a patriarchal vision. I think one thing to say about Donald Trump is that he doesn't bring something new, but he is unvarnished. He reveals what was already there, but sort of masked. He's offering patriarchy without the mask of chivalry.
So it seems to me then that maybe what Donald Trump is doing here, given that he is running at the top of the Republican ticket, is taking Christian nationalism, which has been at the center of Republican politics, and just shifting the emphasis more towards the nationalism, less from the Christian. But it's more or less the same thing?
Yeah, I think that's right. Although I'd even go a little bit further than that, because I mean, he always talks about Christian stuff, and he's actually called Hillary Clinton the devil more than once. And I think that there are actual followers of his, like Alex Jones, who actually do think that Hillary Clinton is a demon from hell, and has said that she like stinks of sulfur. So that's a moralistic vision. And the Christian conservatives are a huge part of his coalition. And there's some younger Christians, evangelicals, to give them credit, at Christianity Today and the World Magazine, that have disavowed Trump. But if you look at it, like, I think about 80% of white evangelical Christians are going to vote for Donald Trump. And, you know, this sort of libertine who mistreats women. And I think the only logical conclusion I can draw from that is that he actually does embody their values. And some of them justify this, Sean Hannity has, by saying, well, you know, King David had 500 concubines. So in a sense, Donald Trump is a biblical patriarch. He is that is the ideal of patriarchy, right? That you have one strong man who's the father of the family, who can, you know, take as many women as he wants. So Donald Trump is old-fashioned religion in the classic sense.
The shifting politics of morality in America. Jeet here says, actually, they haven't shifted all that much at all. We're getting exactly what we've always gotten, just maybe a little bit easier to understand. Jeet Kheer, senior editor at The New Republic. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
So some more now on this discussion of morality in election 2016. You just heard Jeet Kheer of The New Republic. He thinks nothing has really changed, but you wouldn't know it listening to this.
Moral Majority is not a religious organization. The fact is that it's political. It's a very political organization, and one's membership is based upon citizenship in this country and a commitment to a pro-life, pro-traditional family, pro-moral, and pro-American position.
That's Jerry Falwell defining the moral majority way back in 1979. Ronald Reagan relied on the conservative religious coalition to win the Republican nomination in 1980 and, of course, the presidency. Evangelicals helped the Republican Party win the House and Senate in the 90s, and George W. Bush, himself an evangelical, relied heavily on those faith-based voters to win his two terms. And there's no doubt that evangelicals are still a key part of the Republican coalition. But here comes Donald Trump, the three times married, very recently anti-abortion, money accumulating real estate mogul from New York City. Republicans nominated him. And so that leads to the evangelical question. Does the GOP no longer care as much as it used to what Christian conservatives think? Gabe Lyons is the director of Q Commons, a learning community that mobilizes Christians to think well and advance the good in society. And he joins me now to talk about the role of Christianity in this presidential election. Gabe Lyons, welcome.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
As you know, there's been a lot of criticism of evangelical leaders and some voters for getting behind and staying behind Donald Trump. Not just these recent Access Hollywood tapes, but going back to the beginning, you know, three times married, admitted adulterer, long history of what Christians might consider less than moral behavior, pro-abortion rights until very recently. There's been some criticism of evangelicals and Christians then getting behind a candidate like that.
Yeah, there has been, and it's very understandable because, you know, Donald Trump doesn't fit the profile of a typical candidate that Christians would rally behind. And I think it just goes to show how much our entire country is currently not satisfied with these candidates. And so certainly that's playing a role in how people of faith are also thinking. And some of the criticism that's coming at evangelical leaders, not only for voting for Trump, but I think it's coming because they're advocating for Trump. They're saying, this is what Christians should do. If you're being a faithful follower of Jesus, then you should put your vote here. And I think that's what's really putting a bitter taste in a lot of people's mouths.
What do you think has happened then in your camp with the evangelical leaders who, as you said, have not only said they're going to vote for Trump, but advocate for Trump?
Well, I would first want to just say there's a lot of evangelical leaders who are not supportive of Trump. But for those who are, I think there's a political calculation going on. They care deeply about religious freedom, deeply about pro-life. And they're essentially saying, I'm not sure I can trust Donald Trump, but he's at least talking a language that we understand, and maybe there's a chance he'll hold up these things, whereas we know 100% that Hillary Clinton will not. We know that she will nominate Supreme Court justices that don't stick to conservative principles the way most evangelicals would like to see the courts go. And so I think that's what's happening in the political calculation.
There's this political world almost, Gabe, swirling around the core beliefs that you're expressing about how morals should be reflected in politics. And right now there's this moment where really neither candidate is doing it. And I get back to my point before, which is it seems to me like evangelicals, whether they vote for one candidate, the other candidate, or none of the top candidates, get to sort of make political decisions like everybody else does. Sometimes we don't expect them to do that.
Well, no, I think they get to do that, but I think we should be very thoughtful about what our decisions cause. What are the consequences of a vote? It's not only to gain more numbers for a particular candidate, but it actually emphasizes and endorses certain behaviors. It says to the entire electorate, it says to our politicians, this kind of behavior is acceptable and we want more of it. And so I think we have to understand the consequences of our votes and also recognize as people of faith that we've got to do the hard work in our communities. That's why tomorrow night our Q Commons event taking place in over 100 cities in the U.S. is actually convening these town hall meetings where people are coming together in order to address concerns of racism, talk about this election, go deeper and be thoughtful, not just sort of reactionary, but actually be a part of solving these problems by engaging one another, listening to one another, and even when they disagree, saying, let's find some common ground, because let's face it, on November 9th, that's going to be the moment where the hard work is going to begin for this country to start to heal and to try to bring itself back together.
Gabe Lyon is the creator of Q Commons. That's a learning community that mobilizes Christians. And Gabe Lyons, I appreciate you joining us.
Good to be with you.
This is Jim Froman from Lincoln, Nebraska. Both parties only care about getting and keeping power. Anything goes in order to achieve this power. I am now a registered independent.
And we've been asking you if the values and the morals of the Republican or the Democratic parties have changed over the last few years. From Huntington, West Virginia, I used to vote Republican on most issues, but as an atheist, I hate how they've taken on organized religious causes over the last few decades as their own. I don't mind if a politician is religious. I just don't want to hear about it or have it affect policy. You can call us at 877-8MYTAKE, and you can always tweet us at The Takeaway.